Well, if you like to turn back with me to that passage in Proverbs chapter 6. So Proverbs 6, that is 6th verse. Go to the ant. Go to the ant. Yes, that. Man was created to have dominion, and yet sinfulness has brought him into habits and attitudes that are somewhat below that dignity that we were created for. In a fallen condition, we can often learn from the animals rather than teach them. And in some ways, as sinners, we act more like animals than animals do. You know, in children's books, you often read about the courage of the lion, don't you? Or the wisdom of the eagle. Or even the faithfulness of the elephant. You know, the characteristics of animals. But really, do you hear about the ant? The ant. And yet, God's book doesn't forget it. And so the challenge for us is, let's master God's book. God says, go look at the ant. And similarly, in the other passage we read, the Proverbs, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. You know, and that's probably a reference to one of the species, one of those 12,000, the harvester ant, which was a common ant in Palestine. And so God's telling the folks, look at the ant, take a hint from the ant. They're not strong or mighty. You know, in fact, you know, you walk along, you don't think anything about treading on them, do you? And yet, the ant can teach us. They prepare their food for when they need it. And there's Proverbs 6 here, and in chapter 30, they commend the ant world to us. And there's kind of three things that I kind of touched on with the children there that we need to imitate. There's industry and hard work. There's individual self-discipline. And there's wisdom in making preparation. You know, they store for the hard months ahead. They're wise in that way. So, the challenge is, be wise, like the ant. So the next time you see an ant colony, if you're away on holiday maybe here when it's a bit warmer, they'll teach you something. If it's warm outside and you find an ant hill, stop and watch it. Do my time. Well, not according to the Lord. These observations, of course, have something to do with man more than the ants. What the ants can teach us has a practical application, of course, but it's also got a spiritual application for us. Like a message to do with laziness. Particularly, physical laziness, of course, but spiritual laziness. Look at these three things we mentioned. Industry and hard work. What does Philippians 2 say? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in the absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's talking to Christians here. Work out your own salvation. It doesn't just happen. And then individual self-discipline. You know, the ant works without rumour, we're told. And Timothy mentions in his fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Godliness. Self-discipline. And then thirdly, wisdom in making preparation. Be stored for that hard month ahead. What does Amos tell us? He says, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. You know, they've refused. They just refused. Prepare to meet your God. And of course, Paul in Corinthians says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Prepare. In other words, laziness is the mark of a fool, according to the Bible. It's not the only mark, but it's a real mark. Laziness is a possible indicator of unbelief. Now, we don't like to hear that, do we? The world would have us think, wouldn't have us think that way. The logic of it is not pleasing, but it's biblical. It can be a mark of spiritual unregeneracy in your life. Why? Timothy tells us in his first letter, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he denies the faith and is worse than an infidel, worse than unbelievers. You see, lazy character indicates they're not believers in Christ and their hearts are not right with God, and we need to be changed. So first, when we look at laziness over against the ants, they should be a model. However, the first problem is, of course, can we see the laziness in ourselves? You're probably saying, I don't need to hear this. When you say you've got laziness, you know, I already know laziness is wrong. Maybe I could. Teach me about something else, you know, some other obscure thing, yeah, maybe, but laziness, I know that. The question is, can you? Can you really see it? The trouble is when we categorise terms like sluggard or lazy one, it's all too easy for these to be set apart from us, isn't it? And set them out there somewhere. To you being the observer looking at somebody else, and you become the spectator, and we are the ones doing the viewing and the pigeonholing. But we don't fall into that slot. And if we do have kind of lazy tendencies, it'll be very difficult for us to see ourselves in that way. It's quite difficult to recognise ourselves. You'll not see the spiritual poison in yourself. That's the tendency. Proverbs 26 warns us, the 16th verse, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Pick the seven most wisest people that you know. They would struggle to outwit a sluggard who's trying to rationalise away his laziness. It's a powerful picture. We need to take it to heart, because it's unlikely that we'll recognise our own laziness. We'll just want to rationalise it away and we'll from it, that self-deception. You know, there's not many lazy people who say, no, I don't want to because I'm too lazy. You know, we usually find lots of good reasons. You know, not to come to the prayer meeting, not to do a task for an employer, not to fix the lawnmower, you know, not to do the dinner. You know, we're great at it. We convince ourselves, and others, of course, that somehow it just can't happen. You know? But the interesting thing is that the lazy person is not some freak of nature. It's not some abnormal specimen versus us normal people. No. But we can somehow condescend and say, ah, yes, you know, the lazy person. You know? No, no, no. The lazy person is just ordinary. It's just plain ordinary. It's you and it's me. You know, we make too many excuses, too many postponements, too many refusals. And by doing it, we've fallen into a life where we just deceive ourselves and we indulge ourselves. You know, and that character trait can come upon us in an imperceptible way. It comes in kind of degrees, a kind of numbing pleasantness. It's the anesthetic. It kind of slowly kind of comes in. You don't just fall asleep, but you can feel it coming. It's not immediate, but it's kind of pleasant in a way, isn't it? And we slide into that comfort. You know, we do the same about the whole industrial system of our responsibilities in life. We you know, and that transfers over into our spiritual life. You know, the question for you is, have you been sleepwalking in here, possibly, for the last 20 years? You know, walking in and out, getting spiritually more deaf, and a conscience more comfortable, untouched, as we kind of slumber and slide into a spiritual eternal death. Is that clever? You know, that character trait, this passage warns against. Go look at the ant. You know, that character trait's been engulfing our nation for years, a slave into idleness. We do as little as we can, slowly, self-deceptively. You know, we step by step fall into a kind of lazy mindset, into a lack of industrious spirit. And it's no surprise that our output, both personally, corporately, nationally, we've lost our productivity because of it. And our kind of excellence as a nation. And I'm not making a political point, I'm making a spiritual point. We've become lazy fools. That's what the Bible would describe us as. You know, we daydream about carefree lives of luxury and free time, don't we? We live for the weekend and ease and holidays. And I'm not saying these things are bad, don't get me wrong. But when that becomes our principal aim in life, we've lost focus. We've lost why we've been created. We seek after the national lottery as a nation. Do you know that last year, 2018, the UK spent £7 billion buying national lottery tickets? You know, it shouldn't surprise us how the therefore, our productivity has kind of dropped as individuals and as a nation. As we ask, kind of, how little can I get by with? You know, and we're kind of paralysed by that. Oh, I'm waiting for a win. Kind of sense in our heads. Rather than being working like the ant and being productive like the ant and preparing like the ant. You know, in colleges and even in schools, you get the teacher versus the student sitting. You know, when the student got, oh, you've just put your ask him, that's just too much to do, you know, all that homework. And the attitude is one of, I don't want to learn, I just want to pass exams. And they quite often hear the lecturer getting asked, is it in the exams? And he says, well, no. Oh, pencil's down. You know, and in employment, we want more and more for less and less. You know, we wonder why we're kind of outmaneuvered by people who are hardworking. We're addicted to that kind of fast food, low maintenance life. Serviced by our multi-channel TV when we don't really read anymore. And we just switch on the telly and kind of switch off our minds. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying these things don't have a place. But when they're in the wrong place, they're in the wrong place. You know. Oh, I don't need to help the next church activity. We take a nap spiritually. We say, I'll wait for the minister to do it. We kind of lack motivation. You know, we almost avoid taking anything on extra. Nothing beyond the absolute necessary, you know. Anything requiring perseverance. Horrible for us, yeah. Hard work. We avoid like the plague. Like the Bible would describe as fat and lazy. It's a spiritual matter. And by contrast then, you look at the diligent and the self-disciplined. And that's the way Scripture often describes and places the sluggard. He's usually contrasted with the diligent. In Proverbs 15, verse 19, it says, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous man, the righteous is made plain. And then the Proverbs 21 says, he coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous gives and spares not. Now, laziness involves a, by contrast, a kind of measure of unrighteousness. It's a degree of dishonesty, and it's a kind of sidestepping of our responsibilities. It's a form of theft from God. And God will call us to account for it. And when we don't have what he demands, he'll call us unrighteous. Lacking in an upright character. Dishonest people. The way of the righteous is not the way of ease. It's not the way of idleness. In Proverbs 24 it says at verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. Covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, it would be as if you'd been struck by robbers, so that would be what your lack is like. We see one who lacks wisdom. His house is overgrown. He's at ease in Zion. Spiritual pictures. So this morning, look at the biblical description of the sluggard and honestly and clearly evaluate your own life. Are you lazy practically? Are you lazy spiritually? Do you lack self-discipline? You come to church, you have your leaders here, but what about your out-of-sight lives? Do we simply lie down and nap, as it were? What does the Bible say about the lazy one in the passage? How long will we sleep, O sluggard? When will they arise out of thy sleep? Yeah, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You know, and then other passages in Proverbs, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. And again in chapter 20, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. The sluggard loves to sleep. Now you may be saying, stepping on my toes here. If you like to nap, God says, accomplish something. Go to the ant. Do you see them taking naps? Go to the ant. The sluggard's anchored to his bed. You know that word bit in Proverbs? It's a wonderful picture. You know, as the door turns upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. You know, it's always comic in its exaggeration. It's like the man stuck to his bed. You know, you can hardly move. Be diligent. Follow the ant instead. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. You know, you expect a slavery, you'll end up in debt. The sluggard doesn't like to work, and when he does work, he usually does it pretty badly. He's negligent. Or he just plain refuses to work even. Again in Proverbs 21 it says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labour. He lacks self-discipline. So we can see, the sluggard doesn't prepare. He doesn't prepare. He doesn't make advanced preparations for his need. Bits in Proverbs it says, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. Do you cause shame? Does that apply to you? What do you gather? Are you a wise son? The sluggard will plough by reason of the cold. The sluggard will not plough by reason of the cold. Therefore, shall he beg in harvest and have nothing? I'm not ploughing, I'm not getting out there because it's too cold. You know, excuses. You know, again, it's a spiritual application here. It doesn't take care of what he even has. Proverbs 24, he says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, lo, it's not grown over therein. Thorns, nettles covers the face of it. Stone walls broken down. Doesn't take care of his property. Doesn't take the opportunities to prepare. You know, and again you get these kind of almost comic illustrations in the Proverbs. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. You know, he's out to make a catch, he makes a catch, and he's so lazy, he doesn't even cook it. Is that what we're like spiritually? You know, we kind of half-hearted. A slothful man hides his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. The slothful hides his hand in his bosom and it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. It's almost as if look at the comedy in it. You know, it's like, oh, I can hardly even bring my hand. I'm so lazy, I can hardly even do that to be fed. You know, he can't even muster that strength to lift his hand to eat. He's afflicted with this sin of inertia. There's no advanced preparations, he's got no care in his stuff, and he takes no opportunities. And then he rationalises it, his lack of activity and refusal to make his preparations for the test ahead. You know, it says he won't plough for the, you know, because it's too cold. You know, but he'll beg in harvest. Any excuse will do. It's too cold out there. I'm not going to put in that. Can't freeze to death. He'll beg. And even crazier excuses. You know, that becomes the MO of the lazy man. You know, the slothful man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. You know, you get the comedy in that, but in God's word, it's a somber comedy, don't get me wrong. But it's a mocking. There's a lion out there, I'm getting it. Oh, I can't go out there. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Something might happen. You know, oh, if I go to work, I might die. Go look at the ant. You know, how many of us, you know, do it? How many of us see this word and apply it to us spiritually? How man will do anything but engage with the preparation of his heart to meet God? You'll come up with any old excuse, no matter how crazy, and you'll convince yourself that refusing to deal with God is entirely virtuous. You're not making preparation for that test on that day. You'll be a beggar and you'll have nothing to sustain you in that day. No Christ, no Saviour, because of your refusal to prepare. Paul tells us in 2 Peter, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Make that calling and election sure. The ant works away under trial, under the heat of the day. It makes his provisions for the hard time to come. Will you do that provisionally? Will you make that provision spiritually? Will you do that where the opportunity exists? Will you store up that faith, that life in Christ? You see, the sluggard's tyrannized by just unsatisfied desires. He's just a daydreamer. A wish. Oh, I wish I had this and I wish I had that. You know, but Proverbs tells us the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. The sluggard craves and gets nothing. His soul is left empty. It's vanity. And yet the righteous is described as blessed fat. In other words, being full. The sluggard substitutes wishing. Rather, he substitutes working. Wishing for working, you know. Gets it the wrong way round. Oh, I wish. Doesn't work. And he's effectively killed by his own cravings and unsatisfied desires. He wants heaven, but he gets hell. Have we learned anything about ourselves looking at that word? Are we lacking preparation? Are we lacking care? Are we missing opportunities, both practically and spiritually? I mean, a sad people who just wish. What are the consequences if we don't go to the ant and learn? Poverty, hunger, forced labour. Don't be surprised if you become a slave, whether it's a slave to sin or a slave to debt or slavery. Constant dissatisfaction, coveting, becoming exasperating to people. You know, you'll be like vinegar in people's eyes. A destroyer. Never accomplishing anything. Useless. Embarrassing to those over them. You know, he causes shame. He'll shame his family. Nobody wants to be associated with him. He just brings disgrace. A hedge of thorns is there for us. through the tunnel were kind of pricked. And so it ultimately sounds like hell, doesn't it, if we don't make these preparations? So what do we learn? The ants are industrious. The Bible condemns idleness. It's death to man and culture. What about output? Practically, we work. You know, will we work? Spiritually, will we just have good intentions, which remain undone, as it were, and resolutions left unachieved? Sloth stems from unrighteousness. If you're not Christ today, and you are saying, well, what can I do? Paul says, well, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, you're not saved by good works. Be careful. Because you don't have any good works if it's not motivated. If you don't have that work motivated by faith, and doing that under the influence of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom, if it's not motivated by faith and love, then no matter what you do, it's not good in the eyes of God. It's vain. What can you do? You can take on to Christ. Confess your sins to him. Recognize that you're his creature. For his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, were saved for good works. You need your mind renewed, transformed, Romans tells us. If you don't see it in your life, you need to then become a Christian. Trust in Christ. If you're a believer and you see some of these traits in your life, repent. Repent of these sins and ask Christ that he'll make you his workmanship. It will become productive. Not in your own strength, of course, or your own resolve. No, never. But depending upon Christ, we need to confess. We need to confess him as the Christ. He alone can make you do good works. He can make you work for him. He can make you disciplined for him. And he can make you prepared to live for him and be ready to meet him. So, go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. Amen. May the Lord